I'd like to welcome you to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. We're not saving souls, we're saving businesses, saving jobs, saving our community. Now, if I save a soul along the way, don't hold that against me. Let's just call that icing on the cake. Our mission here is to build strong businesses in our community so we can put our people to work. And we do that with business development, job creation, and service. So if you ever find yourself at a business crossroads and you're not sure where to turn, just turn to the Marketing Pulpit. Make it easy. Keep it simple. Because we have the answers. We have the solution. We are all things business over here. Even though the name is Marketing Pulpit, we are a business development show. Now, we got to make it interesting, so we can't just talk solely about business. We got to throw in some talk, stuff that's going on. There's so much good stuff going on, it's hard not to talk. This is a good time to be in talk radio. I'm just going to tell you. I love to talk. And if you love to listen, we have the show for you. If you want to join the conversation today, call us 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. This is the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. I am Robert Gatewood, your host. And as always, I'm joined by a stellar crew, co-hosts, people that really chime in and are experts in their respective fields. I have attorney Tisha Hillman with me. Good morning, Tisha.
Good morning, Robert, and good morning to all the listeners out there. Thank you so much for having me.
I love having you. Tisha is an attorney. She keeps us abreast of what's happening in the legal field. What are you going to talk about later on today, Tisha?
Well, you know, every time school starts back, I always want to remind people about potential custody cases, mm-hmm. And especially when it comes to third parties raising children. So I want to talk to people about the rights of third parties. If it's a grandmother or someone raising the child, I want to kind of just talk to the people about what that looks like in terms of custody.
Wow. The timing is perfect. Timing is perfect. Cause those little ankle biters, I saw them jumping on the buses the other day. They just all in the way. I was trying to get to work this morning and buses stopping. And then I'm saying to myself, nah, I can't be complaining because I had a little ankle biter myself getting on. Well, she didn't get on a bus, but I understand the whole process of the kids got to do this thing this time of year. So I say much love to all the little ones out there, to all you moms and dads who are putting these little kids on the bus, the ones that are hauling them to school, the ones that got them out there walking. I say congratulations. Another year has started, and you deserve a hat off and a congratulations. And we're sending you much love from the Marketing Pulpit. I also have in the studio Mr. Andre Spellin, and he's joining us the first Friday of every month. Good morning, Andre.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
And Andre, you're a money man. You like a money man. Give me some of that money.
Man, I just want to help everyone else get some money, man. You know, that's what I do. Andre'sHomeLoans.com. You know, go on there, click the short application. Let me get you a home. Let me get you taken care of. If you need credit repair, we'll try to take care of that as well, so. Andre'sHomeLoans.com.
Andre's Home Loans. So anybody needs a home loan, you got them covered.
Yeah, I mean, well, really any kind of loan, I'm going to figure out how to help them, whether it's send it to a colleague or get it done. So,
well, see, I like people like you. People that, and that's kind of like one of the underlying themes of this show is that we're not just doing things to make money. We're trying to help people.
Right.
And if you have, if your cause is pure and you have a good mission, you will make the money. Just be,
exactly.
Be true to yourself.
Try to tell people that. It's a byproduct.
Hey, I like that. Hey, I knew I liked this guy for some reason. Hey, speaking of folks and money, I'm sure people are following this story. The Cosby kid, Jeffrey Owens, he got chammed on the internet by some pretty vicious people who were chamming him because he was working at Trader Joe's. And now, I found out later on that the reason he was at Trader Joe's is because due to the Cosby case, Mr. Cosby was charged with taking advantage of 60 women, drugging them, raping them, filling them up, or whatever. And they stopped the reruns of the Cosby show.
Wow.
And so all these folks that were benefiting, and he was one of them, getting those royalty checks, mm-hmm. those checks stopped. When that thing stopped running in syndication,
mm-hmm.
those are check stops. So Mr. Owens, who was he was one of the girls' husbands on the show. Did you ever watch that show, Tisha? That may have been before teacher's time. Teacher only like 20 years old.
Hey, no, I absolutely used to watch the Cosby Show. Yes, I remember.
Which one? He was married to the older girl, wasn't it?
He was married to Sandra.
Sandra.
And they had twins.
See, she knows.
Nelson and Winnie.
Yeah, the guy. Okay.
Yeah. She even knows the kid. You probably know the kid's name. She's a fan.
Yep, Nelson and Winnie. I remember.
She even knows their name. Good, man. What?
Who's the light skinned one with the dripping the drippy
Jerry Curl,
whatever.
Yeah. Everybody used to say she didn't look like one of the parents because she was a little too
light skinned.
Black folks coming all kind of shade.
Yeah.
You don't know, because sometimes even if it's not in your, sometimes that shade will skip a generation.
Mm-hmm.
You may have had a light skinned grandma, and but your two parents are dog. That light skinning will sometimes jump over you.
Yeah, that's what my two kids are light skinned.
Is that right?
Yeah, my mom is light skinned and her mom's light skinned. We're both brown skin, and then boom.
Yep.
Two light skin babies.
Because in our family, all of us around the same complexion, and we got one sister who's lighter than the other, then some of us, we coming up, we like a checkerboard. Mm-hmm. We look good, all kind of color. But anyway, I don't know how we got on that. But anyway, the Cosby kid, Jeffrey Owens, he was, there's a story. Everything I talk about, I always ask that question. Now, what does that make me? And one thing that happened to Jeffrey is that he faced what we call desperation. And many of us can relate to desperation. And sometimes when you're facing desperation, you make some short-term decisions that might be damaging to your long-term aspirations. And I think that's what happened here. You're not in your right state of mind when you're desperate. Now, why would a person like of Jeffrey Stasio stand on his feet for 8 hours and take home about $120 if you're making around, you know, $15 an hour? Mm-hmm. You have to ask yourself, why would somebody do that when there's so many opportunities in this world? Well, that does not give enough weight to what happens when we find ourselves in desperate straits. You really can't see straight. You're just trying to get through the moment, and you think by going out to Trader Joe's that's going to help you, but it's actually, it might help you pay that short-term bill. But I'm going to bring in another factor, and I think that sometimes people don't give it enough weight. A job is more than a paycheck. If you look at a job as just a paycheck, then there's no justification for Mr. Owen working at Trader Joe's. But a job is also, it's like a mental firewall that inoculates us from things such as malaise, as self-pity, things that that really is, you can fall into this trap of desperation, and you start to, you know, feel sorry for yourself. You lose motivation. So you really, a job, I'm not sure if he thought in this term, but I'm just saying, for folks who've ever experienced being out of work and facing desperation, that job is more than just a paycheck. It gives you hope. It gives you a reason to get up in the morning. It gives you one, networking opportunities, and it, as we found out in the case with Jeffrey, it gives you an opportunity to be discovered. Now, the person that discovered him had nefarious intent. They weren't discovering him to give him a job. They discovered him to make fun of him on social media. But for whatever the reason was initially, it got him discovered. Now he has opportunities pouring in. Tyler Perry and a few other people have contacted him and offered him a job. I mean, I was thinking about calling the guy and giving him a job. Like, really, I'm sure I can find something for this guy to do.
Wow.
It was really because it moved me. I said, I have seen that desperation. I've seen it in my clients. I've seen it in my family. I've faced it. Anybody who's been desperate understands what he was going through. And so you have to, before you can pass judgment, make fun, you have to walk in those shoes. And so I would sum this up by saying, don't get comfortable at Trader Joe's. Use that as a stepping stone, as a wedge, as a bridge between your next opportunity. And so, and that's another step that sometimes people forget. They get into these dead-end jobs, and they get comfortable.
But this is the thing that I don't get. So how do you just ignore your gift, though? Like, obviously, you got on the biggest, best sitcom of our time in the, you know, late 80s, early 90s, and you have the ability to act. So why would you be in the grocery store? Your skill and your gift is for acting. Go do that.
Well, see, Andre, and that's where I brought up that desperation, because there is no rational way to justify this. Mm-hmm. Unless you factor in desperation.
Mm-hmm.
And he was used to getting those fat checks from the Cosby Show. Mm-hmm. It stopped.
Mm-hmm.
That was no red light that went off the aid. Cosby's about to go out and molest folks, and your check might stop. he kind of worked that into his budget. All of a sudden, it's gone overnight. And so he fell, like many people, into desperation. And I would say, okay, suck it up. It happens, but don't get comfortable at the Trader Joe's.
Right.
That's dead end. Use that time to repurpose, to rethink, to punt, to pivot, to your, but never lose sight of your aspiration and your dreams. That is the moral of the story to me. What do you think, teacher?
So let me, you know, I'm listening to you guys talk about this, and one of the things that I'm wondering, and I certainly understand, you know, the other gentleman's point, but I think one of the things that's missing is we live in a society now that we don't respect work ethic the way that we used to. And so, you know, it's all about, well, what do you do? And so we've assigned value to people based on what they do and how much they have,
right,
as opposed to who they are and seeing what they're doing to accomplish the next goal. And so when I see someone shaming like a Jeffrey Owens and saying, okay, well, he's an actor, why can't he use that skill? I think it somehow erases the knowledge that, first of all, he is a black actor. He is a black actor from the 80s sitcom that has not had another role since. And so it's not as easy to say, well, why don't he get up and get a job? He has a skill. Go get a job using that skill. It's not as easy for us to do that. I mean, it sounds good in theory, but practically, sometimes you got to go work at Trader Joe's because the bills don't stop coming. You know what I mean?
Well, I tell you what, teacher, I would, I have changed my perspective on this several times. I mean, my first reaction was like, man, there's no way this guy should be at Trader Joe's. I was actually saying to myself, because I've had this conversation with people before, that you stand on your foot for 8 hours and get a $100 check. I mean, I could go out here and put on get one of those cardboard signs and do better. But there is something about continuity, about having a job. Society places value on people who are working, have a steady job. So there are so many factors at work. And then, like you say, teacher, when you throw in elements of race and like Andre said, this guy got all this skill. Why can't he go out here? See, I would have spent that time on the phone. You know what I mean? I would have, instead of spending 8 hours on my feet, I'd have spent 8 hours on the phone or walking the pavement, knocking on doors,
right?
And I'm sure I would have landed an opportunity that was going to pay me well beyond $100 a day.
Let me respond to Tisha too, because I mean, I wasn't saying his value is lower because he's doing one thing over another. What I was really saying was his value is very high as an actor, and so I do think that if he spent some time looking for that, like he's saying, he would find something. Now, she made a great point saying he was in a show in the 80s. And he still hasn't had a job since. So, but anyway,
hold that thought there, Andre. We're going to finish up after the break. We're going to talk about Aretha Franklin's funeral. We're going to talk about Trump's anonymous op-ed, and we're going to talk about Nike and Colin Kaepernick. This is the Marketing Pulpit. We're going to be right back after the break. Don't go anywhere.
Washington D.C.'s News Talk, 1450 AM WOL and 95.9 FM.
Good morning. This WOL traffic and weather update brought to you by Walgreens. 295 northbound, pretty slow now, Pennsylvania Avenue to East Capitol Street. Suitland Parkway outbound at Forestville Road. It was an accident. Look for a delay there you weren't expecting, and police direction to get around it. New York Avenue inbound, a little heavy still, down toward Bladensburg Road, and then from Florida Avenue Northeast, some volume delays into Northwest, down toward the 3rd Street Tunnel. Come get your flu shot at Walgreens today. $0 copay with most insurance. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Vaccine restrictions apply. See pharmacy for details. Now your WOL weather forecast. Scattered thunderstorms developing this afternoon, a high near 88. Some thunderstorms likely overnight, down to 71 for low. And for tomorrow, off and on showers and cooler. High tomorrow and only near 73. Steve Hirschhorn for 1450 AM, 95.9 FM, WOL, where information is power.
All right, for all the folks out there working at the Trader Joe's and the McDonald's and Wendy's and Tasty Freezes of the world, we ain't mad at you, but Andre and I were talking during the break. Look, I think what Andre is saying, and I have to agree, don't lose sight of your dream. And if right. you must work, do something where you can still have the freedom. Don't lose sight of that freedom and independence. Mm. I mean, if you got to drive Uber or Lyft or do something where you still maintaining that sense of entrepreneurship right. and ownership and independence.
You can wear a fake nose, glasses, hat. Nobody needs to know.
Yeah, because I think that, and I think that some people, a lot of people do that. And I know some of my clients who actually, they're moonlighting. And but I think there's a big difference between maintaining that independence as your own boss, which is like when you're with Uber, as much as they, I mean, we've had the accountant to talk about this. You're mm-hmm. actually an independent contractor. Mm-hmm. You don't have to get up and go drive. They can't demand you get up and go take a fare that you don't want to take.
Right.
But when you're at a Trader Joe's or a McDonald's, man, you back on the plantation. I'm sorry. And I'm going to take that back, because that was not nice. Because there are a lot of people out there that have those jobs. But I'm saying, even if you're doing that, don't lose sight of your vision. And that was, I don't mean you're on the plantation literally. I mean that it's a lot harder to pursue your dreams as an independent business owner.
I mean, you're giving all your best energy to the job. When you get home, you're giving what's left to your dream. So.
Yeah, so.
So let me ask you, gentlemen, this. What do you think? Because, I mean, I understand that there are people out there that are saying, well, you know, you guys are talking about entrepreneurship, essentially, but what if I have no desire to be an entrepreneur? Does that make me somehow, you know, I guess less focused, less hungry? You know what I mean?
No. In this case,
I choose to work for someone.
In this case, it's more like this. You should be doing what, you know, what makes you happy. Like he said, your job is supposed to inoculate you against malaise and all this other stuff. Like, you should be doing what you love to do. So there are people that do these jobs that I know that love doing what they're doing, and I respect them for it. They're doing a great job at it. Whatever you do, be the best at it and enjoy it. So, you know, if he's enjoying it, great.
Yeah.
You know, but I would think he probably would enjoy using his gift that much more, and I don't think his gift is working at Trader Joe's. That's clear.
And he said as much. Trader Joe's was not his dream aspiration.
Right.
And so, and you're making a great point there, Andre. And I have on this show time and time again have said, look, I don't knock people that have 9-to-5 jobs. What I do knock is people that have lost that drive, that purpose. Having a vision.
Right.
So even if you can pursue your vision and your purpose on a job.
Yeah.
But unless Jeffrey was aspiring to be the owner of Trader Joe's one day.
Yeah, that would be good if that was what his plan was.
But that wasn't his plan. Mm. He was trying to get to the next day. Yeah. And to do that, sometimes we can lose focus of our bigger purpose. That's all. That's what I'm saying there, teacher. So heaven knows, I want people to pursue what makes them happy. Everybody cannot be an entrepreneur. Matter of fact, most people can't. But I do say that whatever you do, whether it's on a job, whether it's on you're pursuing your business ambitions, just make sure you have focus, you have purpose, you're contributing to society, you're pursuing your dreams, your goal, you're giving back, and you can do that very ably on a job as well as a business owner. And so to end this up, I'm going to say I actually respect Mr. Owens a lot. I feel that he was put into a desperate situation. He did what he thought he had to do. Some of us can argue that we thought he could have chosen a more lucrative path based on his skills and past history. But we don't know anybody's story, and you can't judge until you walk in those shoes. I can tell you that from experience. Let's talk about another story, Nike and Colin Kaepernick. This goes back, it kind of keeps that same theme going about purpose. Now, here's a corporation, Nike, one of the richest companies in the world, really. They have people from Michael Jordan and LeBron James and really just a whole litany of spokespeople that are brand names. But they've chosen to, rather than to capitulate to racism, to sexism, to capitalism, they decided to put their company brand their company's reputation on Colin Kaepernick and what he believes in. And to me, that is a very bold step. Now, Nike is having a lot of kickback. And I just want to say to the folks that are protesting and cutting off their Nike logos and have really been vitriolic response to this move by Nike. I think you need to check yourself. You may not realize it, but you may be a closet racist. And some are not even in the closet. They just come right out with it. And why do I say that? Because you're overlooking the fact why Colin Kaepernick, or maybe you're not overlooking it. You're very cognizant of why he's protesting, but you've chosen to either ignore it or you support the people who are comfortable murdering young black men or shooting people, beating people, macing people, rough handling young black women in IHOPs. If you're comfortable with that, then you have a problem. And maybe that's why you have this vitriolic response to Nike and the stance that they're taking. I support Nike. I think Nike is doing the right thing. And to the people who are protesting this, I say you need to check yourself. You need to go look in the mirror and ask yourself, am I a racist at worst, or am I insensitive at best? But you do have an issue. Just know that. To me, that's not up for debate. So that's my take on Nike. Aretha Franklin. Now, last Friday, we were at this studio. Andre, we were actually listening to some of the speeches. We were listening to some of the funeral. It had really just started around 10 o'clock last week. But by the time I got back to my office, I mean, this funeral was in full blown. It was in.
Wait, you guys listen to it all day? Because I heard it went on for like 4 months.
It went on. It was an 8-hour funeral.
Wow.
Now, two things that were worthy of note, besides that, just a great lineup of guests. Reverend Jackson had great singers. Minister Farrakhan was there. And, Reverend Sharpton, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton. It was just a who's who of and the Trump. Somebody said the Trump family. Well, the Trump family was not there for obvious reasons. But there were two people that stood out that really stole the show, and not for good reasons. One was Bishop Charles Ellis, who has been really skewered for supposedly grabbing Ariana Grande's got a little too close to her chest. And so he's been skewered over that. And he called her he said her name sounded like a meal on Taco Bell.
But did you see that his hand went a little close a couple of times?
It was a little close. Now, and I'm going to tell the folks out here, I'm a hugger. And I don't hug, it has no sexual Indian there whatsoever. I came from down south, big family, grew up in the church, and we hugged. Everybody just hugged everybody. But I tell you this, though. I know where my hand should be. I always go for that shoulder blade. There is nothing sexual on the shoulder blade. I don't go high, too low. I am right on the shoulder blade. And after I looked at Pastor Ellis, I actually went through some of my Instagram and Facebook posts just to make sure that I was true to what I'm saying. And you don't see my hand anywhere. I am true, not going to be trying to sneak aside feel. And, of course, I don't know if the preacher was actually trying to feel the lady. I mean, it could go either way. But my point is, I think when you're under that kind of scrutiny, keep that hand up there. And either you can't see it at all, put it right back down that. I'm telling you guys.
Shoulder blade.
It's safe. Nobody's going to. I mean, some people just don't want to be touched, period. But if you got to touch somebody, try to keep it right down that shoulder blade spot. And then the other pastor, Jasper Williams, he got up there and while Aretha Franklin's lying there, he said there's no way a black woman can raise a black boy to be a man. Now, here's Aretha Franklin, who raised four young people into manhood. He went on to say that the Klan, that black people have killed more people than the Klan. And so he really did Aretha Franklin and her family a disservice, and their family actually came out and stated as such. And I would just say this, I came from a family of, my dad was a pastor, and I went to many funerals. Sometimes I'm saying to myself, why am I at this funeral? I went because I was following my dad around sometimes. So I've seen my share of funerals. And there's only two things that, if you're not sure, all the pastors out there listening, if you're not sure, there's two things you should do at a funeral you should honor the deceased and comfort the family. If you do that, those two things, you're safe.
Right.
But when you start going off into political rants, you're going to offend somebody. And that's not the place. That's not the role of a funeral.
Not at all.
So now let me ask you guys this, because, you know, as black folk, you know, we do things a little extra.
Mm-hmm.
So do you find it appropriate or inappropriate when people do start preaching at someone's funeral? Because that's something that's kind of always, I've always seen at black funerals. And, you know, I don't think it's appropriate because of what you just said, Robert, about what, you know, what we're here for. And so I just wonder, especially coming from a minister's son, like what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I think when you're a preacher, you do what preachers do, and they preach. They can't help themselves. Mm-hmm. Even if they've done the comforting and honoring the deceased, they can't turn off their preacherhood. No more than you tell a lawyer to stop being lawyering or a marketing guy to stop marketing. It's just in their DNA. So when that mic gets in front of them, they can't help themselves. So if they got a sermon that's pretty much in line with the, at least following the theme of the person, I don't think it's wrong, but I do think sometimes it gets a little lengthy, and it kind of takes a focus away from the person that they're there to honor. When we come back, we're going to have a teacher. She's going to talk about some family law, and we're going to get a quick perspective on what's happening in the lending field from Andre. This is the Marketing Pulpit. Number is 1-800-450-7876. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after the break.
Let's talk about America, not taxes or tweets or the issues that divide us, but how incredible our country is. Left, right, up, down, state lines to winding coastlines, whether you come home to a crowded city street, tree-lined suburb, or sleepy small town, everyone deserves to live in a clean, green, and thriving community. And we all share in the responsibility to create beauty that ripples from one neighborhood to another and one block to the next. We are Keep America Beautiful, the nonprofit working with millions of people just like you to end littering, improve recycling, and beautify our communities, because every mindful action and sustainable habit has a positive impact, and it all adds up.
Learn how you can keep America beautiful at KAB.org. Together, we can do beautiful things.
Driving means
freedom,
exploration,
fun,
pride,
flexibility,
travel,
protection, friendship,
escape,
independence.
Distracted driving means
danger,
recklessness,
irresponsible,
chaos,
police,
devastation,
injury,
tears,
death.
Safe driving means staying alert and staying alive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
WOL Washington, W240 DJ Washington, 95.9, WPRS HD2 Waldorf, WKYS HD2 Washington, WMMJ HD2 Bethesda, and worldwide at WOLDCNews.com.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
I'd like to welcome you back to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. I have in the studio Mr. Andre Spelling, and I have on the line Ms. Tisha Hillman, attorney at law. We're having ourselves a good old conversation here about some things that are happening. I'd like to thank our sponsor, BLE Executive Suites, who helps bring this show every week. If you need an office, someone to answer your phone, to pick up your packages for you, call them 301-322-1700 or visit blesuites.com. A lot of people out here that need good locations. Location is one of those, it's the place. It's one of those P's of marketing, place. And it doesn't have to be a physical space. Sometimes it can be a virtual space. It's how you answer your phone. It's your mailing address. It's where you decide to meet people. So place takes on many facades, and BLE Executive Suites handle them all. Call them at 301-322-1700. Or visit BLESuites.com. They have three locations, one at National Harbor, one in College Park, which is a hub zone, and they have their main office over in Largo, Maryland, right over near the stadium in the Washington football team. We have Andre Spelling. Andre is a lender. And Andre, I was thinking about something the other day.
All right.
We do a workshop every month talking about getting people from debt to wealth. And one of the issues seemed to be people's credit scores.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody got like a 500-something credit score, should they just count themselves out of the home buying business?
Not at all. So to get what everyone else is getting as far as down payment goes, all you need is a 580. So with a 580 score, you can go out there, put down 3.5% and get the home of your dreams. So no, with a 500, you're not counted out. Now, even if you're under 580, I have a credit repair program that we do completely free. A lot of times we can get a 20-point bump, a 30-point bump, a 40-point bump. So with that being said, no, at a 500 score, you're not out of the game. You're still in it. Now, even if you can't get over a 580, at a 500, you can put down 10% and still be in the game.
So if you got money, you can still get in the house.
With a 500, yeah. If you're a veteran, even lower than that, you could possibly get a loan too. So, you know, always, always know your options. Go to andreshomeloans.com and click the short application.
You got the
and
options.
You'll find out. Yes, sir.
But the key is talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, and that's what I've learned in the marketing field, and I'm sure attorney teacher has encountered some of the same thing. People make all these assumptions. They have these questions and lack of knowledge, and they fill in that information gap sometimes with misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, I'm pretty sure there's a misconception out here that if my credit score is below 600, I've got to wait. And I say, by all means, get that credit score up if you can. But that doesn't put you out of the ball game.
And you know what's funny, too? The rates are actually not bad because it's a government program. So the government wants to increase home ownership.
Okay.
So they put these programs out here for you to buy a house. Because, of course, if you own your home, guess what else you're going to need? You're going to have to buy furniture or TV. You're going to have to get services to fix your home. You're going to have to maintain your lawn. You're going to have to do all, and you're going to take care of your space. So all those things are great for the economy, great for the country. Government wants you to own.
And folks, get used to seeing and hearing Andre. He's one, he's going to be a regular on the show here, but he also, you're starting another show here on Radio 1. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah, there's a show coming up starting on the 18th, Tuesdays, 11:30 a.m. It's called Keeping It Real Estate.
Keeping It Real Estate.
Keeping It Real Estate, yeah.
I like that.
And it's working along with Brittany Calloway. She has one of the largest meetups in the country called Heels and Deals. And basically it's, you know, something where men are invited, but it's also a women's empowerment thing where they basically educate women on how to, you know, become a mogul, become a, you know, make some money in real estate. So she does that monthly, and she also has a podcast and all that stuff. So she's doing a lot of stuff, and she's bringing her whole thing to radio. So definitely tune in Tuesdays, 11:30 a.m.
Courtesy of mover and shaker, Andre Spelling.
No. I got to give the credit where it's due. She's an amazing lady. She's going to talk to you guys and teach you about real estate and how to take it to the next level.
Well, I really...
Now, Andre, I have a question. So, you know, you talked about the credit repair, and I've had people ask me before what I thought about credit repair because, you know, in a family law context, a lot of times when people are getting divorced, they have to sell their home and sell it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people talk about credit repair, and you say you can do sometimes like a 20-point bump, now, is that something that is fairly consistent? Is it permanent? Because, you know, there are these companies out there that will tell people that they're going to get them a bump, and then like a month later, their credit goes back down. Can you speak a little bit about how that works and, you know, what people can expect from your company and how you guys set yourself out in that regard?
Well, you know, there's a lot of different ways a score can go up, but one that's a temporary boost is obviously credit card balances. So there's a calculation that's used to calculate credit score, and it's based on how much of the available credit you're using. So obviously if you lower that amount for a set time, it's going to be low for that set time, and then if you use the credit card, it's going to go back up. So the score would drop in that case. So yeah, I would think that if somebody got, you know, paid credit cards down to get their score up and then used them again immediately, the score would go back down again. And so that's probably what you're describing.
Yeah, and that's actually at our workshop that we have on the we have one on September 29th. We have a credit card a debt relief, what do you call it, a credit score specialist. And that's exactly what she talks about, how to you need those credit cards. Some people that don't get credit cards, go pay them off. Well, that's what you shouldn't do. Get the credit cards, but you have to maintain a certain percentage. You want to keep around 10% of the total balance, of total available credit. And so I would actually encourage people to come out to that event. Go to marketingpulpit.com. As a matter of fact, we have that on the homepage. It's the Debt to Wealth Seminar. But so, Andre, so you have this show coming up on Tuesday, starting the 18th, and so you're going to be here. I just want to say thank you for you and Tisha and my other co-hosts for bringing this wealth of information to our listening audience.
Yeah, man, got to bring financial literacy into everyday thought.
All right, so I'm going to jump over here to Tisha. Tisha.
And yes, sir.
And Tisha, by the way, she's also with us the first Friday of every month, and she is Tisha's not just a good attorney; she's also very vested, heavily vested into our community. I would say she's a stakeholder in the success of our community. She's willing, like myself and Andre, to give out this good information that's actually going to help us. We don't provide these short, quick fix solutions. We try to do things that changes your mindset, and so that when you go forward, we're not making the same mistakes over and over again. So, Tisha, once again, fill us in on this illustrious topic you're going to fill us in on today.
Well, I don't know how incredibly illustrious it is. But what I do know is in our communities, oftentimes we have third parties who end up, you know, sometimes raising the children. Now, whether that be grandparents, aunts, uncles, whomever, and for whatever reason. And so sometimes those people are trying to figure out how to navigate this system of raising children that are not their own.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I wanted to tell those people, if you have a situation where you have been raising the child that of someone else that you have not adopted, but is not your own child, and you are trying to get either custody or child support or both for that child, you do have options. And so there's something in the law in Maryland that's called de facto custody.
Okay.
And what that means is by the nature of the thing itself, right? So if you are in a situation where this child has lived with you for an extended period of time, right? And we're talking about maybe several years or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you are basically the parent. You have basically stepped into the role of the parent, and you're doing so without expectation of payment. For example, you're not the nanny or the babysitter trying to get custody, right?
Okay.
You know, that this is a child that is bonded with you. They don't necessarily have to call you mom or dad, but you have a parent-child bond.
Mm-hmm.
You basically act as the parent for this child. Sometimes those people do it because they love the kids, but they don't get any kind of help from the family.
Okay.
And so what I'm saying to people who find themselves in that situation is, if you are the third party attempting and the parent and the family's not trying to support you, you can file for child support and for custody of that child in a Maryland, in the appropriate Maryland court. So there is hope.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Thing, yes, sir.
So you're saying by the fact that you're acting in the capacity, you like walk like a duck, talk like a duck, you're basically saying if you're doing all these things that a parent would normally do, by default, you kind of move in this area called de facto custody of the child, and you're entitled to some of the laws and privileges thereof.
Absolutely.
Why would somebody want that? I mean, is there a benefit? What are some of the, I guess, legal benefits of becoming a de facto parent?
And that's a good question, Robert. I'm glad you asked that. So one of the benefits is, for example, school just started.
Okay.
Most of the time, you can't get a child in school if you're not their parent or guardian.
Ooh, okay.
And so people are trying to figure out, well, I have this child, I'm taking care of this child, but yet I can't do anything to help this child when it comes to the law. So, you know, I can't get medical information because they're not my biological child and I'm not their, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it does cause all of these issues. So you can't take the child to get their shot. You can't get information about their records because of HIPAA. You can't take them to school. You may not be able to pick them up.
Wow.
Because if you're not listed as their parent or legal guardian and there's some paperwork to support that, you may have difficulty.
Now, how does one does one move into the legal realm? So you've been de facto, which means, you know, by nature of, how do you legalize it? Is that, I'm sure that's something you were going to cover, but how does that, what's the next step to become the legal guardian? Is that the goal?
So there's a couple of different things, and they are different. So there is guardianship, but there's also custody.
Okay.
And so, you know, the law has changed in the last 2 years with respect to that. And so, yes, you can actually file for custody of a child that's not yours if the situation meets the parameters of, you know, being a de facto parent sort of situation, right? It's not going to fit in every single circumstance. And this is why talking to a knowledgeable attorney such as myself, you know, this is why honestly talking to a knowledgeable attorney about it would be helpful, because you don't want to do something that is going to jeopardize your, you know, your rights with respect to the child and what you're trying to accomplish for the child. But also, Robert, it also allows the person to get child support.
But you know,
because
what?
Go ahead.
I actually saw that firsthand as I was raising my daughter. I would see, for various reasons, sometimes either the parent had become incapacitated, either through some type of either they were gone off to fight a war, or they may have been have some type of mental issue, or maybe drugs. But for some reason, you see this grandmother or cousin or in-law step in into the role of parenthood. And I've always wondered, how do they get the same benefits? And because I realize, like you said, all these things that you have to do to raise a kid, you got to get these shots, you got to get enrolled, you got to all these questionnaires that ask for who the parent is.
Mm-hmm.
And if that parent is not available, who does that? How does that work? So this is very timely, very timely.
So absolutely. And, you know, it allows, like I said, it allows the person to get child support, because, again, even though you're doing it because, you know, without any expectation
mm-hmm.
of payment, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't have support from the people that birthed this child.
Absolutely.
To take care of their child.
Yeah.
Right. And so I always tell people, because sometimes people feel guilty about asking for child support. But what I always say is child support is not about you. Child support is for the child.
Right.
And so it's not fair that you are taking care of someone else's child without any kind of help from them.
Well, hang on.
So there are remedies.
Hang on there, teacher. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, this is The Marketing Pulpit. I'm Robert Gate with your host. I have in studio Mr. Andre Spelling, and I have Teacher Hillman, attorney at law. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, is selling less better for your business than selling more? I know there's something to ponder on this break. Marketing Pulpit will be right back after the break.
You've been listening to Washington D.C.'s News Talk, 1450 AM WOS and 95.9 FM.
In 1987, some inner-city first graders were promised a college education. Now, this promise didn't come from a wealthy corporation. It came from Oral Lee Brown, who saved a large portion of her modest income every year for these children.
She told Ms. Brown, you can't do everything. I said, no, but we need to do more.
And she did more by sending 19 kids to college, helping others pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
I'm Jessica Mendoza, U.S. Olympic gold and silver medalist. I never take my eyesight for granted. Neither should you. Doesn't matter how old you are, you could be losing your vision to glaucoma without knowing it. Take care of your sight. Schedule regular eye exams for yourself and those you love. Call 1-800-437-2423 or go to ahaf.org for free information and publications from National Glaucoma Research. That's 1-800-437-2423.
Oh, All you business owners out here, you want to listen up to the next segment. We're going to talk about if you have a product, if you have services, if you're selling a book, if you're selling shirts, hair, or whatever, can selling less be better for you than selling more? I know I have you curious, but don't go away. In the meantime, we're going to talk about, we have Teacher Hillman, attorney at law. She's talking about a very important subject this time of year about custody and default custody. If you're taking care of that kid, then you're entitled to some of the benefits. I also have Mr. Andre Spelling. He's a lender. He said you don't have to have a perfect credit score to go out here and buy a house. There's government loans. If you're a VA, there's all kind of opportunities, and you need to call him. His information is also on the website as well as Attorney Hillman. So if you have any follow-up questions after the show, reach out to these people. They're knowledgeable. They've been vetted. If they're on this show, believe me, they know their stuff because we don't deal with slackers. Teacher, put a bow on this for us and tell us what are some of the remedies for this predicament some people might find themselves in.
So some of the remedies are, first of all, like I said, to speak with a knowledgeable attorney about what your options are, because understand that not every single situation is going to fall into the right, the right parameters to make you a de facto parent entitled to these particular benefits. So you want to make sure that you talk to someone about your particular matter. The other thing is if you are in a family and, you know, there's someone in your family who is taking care of children of someone else, one of the things that we can do to actually support these folks is to actually give them support. Mm. And so, you know, it's funny, Robert, because I've been thinking a lot about culturally. Mm-hmm. I remember back in the day, family used to have, you know, we used to have Sunday dinners together. Mm-hmm. You know, we used to pass down stories, all of these things. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we've gotten away from supporting one another, from talking to our elders and our grandparents and things like that. And so it leaves people who have the burden of raising children to feel like they have that burden alone. And what happens is these burdens then manifest themselves on the children.
Teacher,
and so,
teacher, yes. Shouldn't say dinner. I haven't had lunch or breakfast. You said Sunday dinner. I'm seeing macaroni and cheese.
Collard greens.
I'm seeing candy yams, collards. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm sorry. What were you talking about again?
So I was talking about the importance of family support.
Right. I
so
agree.
So whether that be, you know, if you are trying to raise the child of someone else, not being afraid to ask for help, even if that means asking for child support. But if it's not in the form of child support and you're trying to get help from other family members, being able to support each other through that. Because the thing is, Robert, in seeing family law cases, the thing that is crystal clear is that no matter how you slice these arguments, at the middle of these arguments are our babies.
Slice.
And our babies need support.
Oh, okay.
They need love, they need financial support, and they need support of the families and you know, the community to be there to help raise these children so that people aren't alone leaving kids out here to suffer.
You are exactly right. Now, one of the things that you said, and I want to emphasize, they need to reach out to a knowledgeable attorney like yourself. Let people know how they can reach out to you.
Absolutely. So you guys can follow me on social media at T.S. Hillman Law. You can also visit my website, which was created by the incredible Robert Gatewood of Gatewood Marketing and our host today.
I know him.
And that's www.tshillmanlaw.com. And I can also be reached directly at 301-744-7996. My office does practice family law along with personal injury and criminal law. So if you have any questions about any of those issues, please feel free to give me a call, and we will certainly do our best to help you.
Folks, this lady is not just a beautiful voice and face. This woman knows her stuff. She's she was selected to be on this show for that very reason. And if you have questions in any of those areas of law, reach out to this sister. Go to marketingpulpit.com. You can find her information also on the website. And she's joining us the first Friday of every month, along with Mr. Spelling. On the second Friday, we have Ms. Falasha Day. She's an accountant. The third Friday, we have Ms. Wena Cullins, the therapist. And on the fourth Friday, we have Mr. Danny Jones, debt relief specialist. We have people actually lining up to get on this show to be co-hosts. If you think you have what it takes to be a radio host, call me 301-839-2836. And if you want to advertise in general, reach out to Ms. Karen Jackson. If you want to start your own show, if you want to advertise, get your business out there, then you want to. Radio One has a long history, very loyal listeners. People know the family, and it's like a family over here. If you want to get involved, so reach out to Ms. Karen Jackson at Radio One over here at WOL. And if you just want to become a co-host, call me. I'll see if you have what it takes. We might get you on the show. Don't forget about the upcoming Home Buying and Debt to Wealth seminar coming up on September 29th, courtesy of Ms. Kia Coppish. You will learn everything you need to know about getting your credit score right, getting rid of that extra debt, lending, real estate, insurance, financing, and a host of other things, such as remodeling houses. If you're an investor, first-time buyer, or anywhere in the home buying process, or if you just have debt in general you want to get rid of, reach out, go to Marketing Pulpit. We have the information right there on the homepage, and you can find out more and register for this upcoming event, Home Buying and Debt to Wealth Seminar. I am Robert Gatewood. My company, Gatewood Marketing and Web, we have been helping companies for the last 25 years. We are a business development company, and we have helped some. Our plate is actually full right now. We have people in the hair industry. We have people in the real estate industry. We have investors. We have accountants. We have attorneys. Our plate is, I don't want to say it's full, because we always have room for one more. But if you want to become a success story and join these successful companies, call me, 301-839-2836. And also support our host and our co-host and our guests by going to marketingpulpit.com and just scrolling through there, listening to some of the shows, and reach out to these talented and they're more than talented. They're actually giving back to our community by the virtue of the fact that they're on this show and willing to share information at no cost to the audience. In my role of business development, really just going through the day-to-day business of running a company that's in the marketing and business development field, it becomes like a test tube of things I'm going to talk about on the show. Well, this particular week, I had to address the issue of how much should I sell to my audience? How many items should I sell? How many services should I offer? And in each case, the answer was about the same. In their particular cases, less was better. Less was more. Now, how in the heck does that make sense? Well, there's a rookie tendency to try to sell everything to everybody. It's like a bear trying to chase two rabbits. Both rabbits would get away. I guarantee you, if you're trying to chase them both, you would not catch either one of them. And so trying to sell everything to everybody, on several occasions on this show, I've talked about the trying to sell to everybody. That means not focusing on your audience and not targeting properly. Today, I'm going to talk about trying to sell everything. Now, why do people do this? Why do people go out here and try to sell everything to everybody? One, they're getting bad advice from family and friends and people who don't know anything about marketing or business development. They said, look, the more you sell, the more money you're going to make. That is just pure wrong. That is wrong. Now, there are exceptions, but in most cases, for a small company starting out, that's just pure bad advice. People are comparing themselves to competitors, not understanding the full debt of that, without a full understanding of what that company's business plan is. Because some of these companies have the freedom to abandon the market. They may have other streams of income going on. They may be using that type of service as a loss leader. So until you understand that companies that you're comparing yourself, until you understand their business model, you may be doing an apples to orange comparison and getting it all wrong. Some people just have plain lack of business and experience in general. They come from areas where they worked for a company for a long period of time, and they were kind of in a singular position in that company, and they didn't have a global scope of what it takes to run a business. And sometimes it can cause them to make these bad decisions. And here's one that's very important. If you don't have a basic understanding of accounting and marketing, you will be led to believe that the more products that you sell, the better off you're going to be. Now, quickly, here are some of the reasons why this does not work. Marketing, you need to narrow your focus on your best sellers. Let me make this short and simple for you. Think about where your money is coming from. What's going to make you the most money now and in the future? One, it's gonna you're gonna be more effective in marketing because you can target better, you can message better, you're gonna have a better return on investment of your advertising, and your closing and response rate will go up. Those will help those advertising metrics called cost per acquisition. Cost, another reason, money, math. This is basic math. The more inventory you have, the more it's going to cost you to run a business. The more staff it's going to require. It's going to cost you in distribution. So when you have all these SKUs or products, it's going to cost you money by trying to maintain them. Operational efficiency is another area. When you become leaner, you do become meaner and better. You have more time to do things better and to do them right. And last but not least, when you become more efficient, when you become leaner, you can provide better service. And better service attacks another one of those advertising metrics called lifetime value. If you're doing one-off sales, getting the customer for one time, and they're gone tomorrow, you will not survive as a business. So marketing, cost, operations, and service are ways that you will benefit by narrowing your focus, cutting down on some of that dead weight in your inventory, and becoming a more efficient marketing and advertising machine. Folks, that's going to wrap up the show for today. I'd like to thank you, Andre, for joining me today.
Thank you, sir.
Teacher, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Andre.
Go to Marketing Pulpit and reach out to our co-host, our guest. And we will see you next week. And if you want to be successful, you got to do these three things. Do the right thing at the right time, and you got to do it right. Enough talk. Let's get to work.
Washington, D.C.'s News Talk, 1450 AM WOS and 95.9 FM.